today as we come to the table.
How do I know that God didn't just save the life of my wife and children by giving them a flat tire on the side of the road on a rainy day? Praise the Lord for that. You never know what God has done. We have to make sure that our eyes are open to the work of the Spirit in the believer's life. And rather than saying, God, how could you do this? My arm's already hurt. Now you cut my finger. Now it's raining. Now I have a tire fixed. Now my wife's got a flat tire. Now my just found out my water heater's leaking at home right now during church. And all these things, and that's true, but all these things, right? And I can sit here and go, God, how could you do this? Marcus, because I do love you. This is my sign of love to you. Why? You have no idea what I'm doing.
God doesn't always do the things you expect or want in your life, and sometimes He leads you in directions that just feel like you're going backwards or you're missing out on something. But Pastor Mark reminds us today that we don't know everything that's going on in the spiritual world. He knows more than we do. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Because God knows things that we don't, we won't always understand what He's doing in our lives, but we can trust Him, and we can tune ourselves into the spiritual world and listen for His voice. The more we listen to Him, the more we will hear about His heart for us and the purposes He has for our lives. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 16 as he begins his message, The Leading of the Holy Spirit.
Acts chapter 16. So we continue on in the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 15. Notice it says in verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us. Teach us by your Spirit. And Lord, as we look today at the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is something all of us as believers need to understand. Lord, we understand the big things. When you speak so loud, it is impossible to ignore. We get it. But oftentimes, Lord, you're speaking to us, and probably to many in this room right now, and even through the teaching this morning. But if we don't know what to look for, we don't know your voice. So God, I pray you would teach us. Show us how you led Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke, and all this group that was traveling. Show us, Lord, how you lead us. Help us to understand so that we can expand our horizon and we can look for ways for you to lead us that we may not normally even be paying attention to. Lord, by your Holy Spirit now, quicken us. Let us be attentive to your Spirit and to hear what the Spirit would say to the church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1991, my best friend committed to 2 more years with YWAM in the Middle East. And as she was about to go, her pastor said, all right, I will support you in this and I will stand with you in this. But if war breaks out, you've got to promise me you'll come home. Well, what are the odds of war breaking out? Well, in the Middle East, maybe not too bad. So she headed off and got to the Middle East. And as you know, in 1991, the Iraq war broke out. And the last day of January, Tracy, my now wife, flew back to the United States. Now, I can tell you, knowing my wife, when she made that commitment, she meant it. When she sets her mind to do something, she will do it unless war breaks out and stops it. I'm joking, obviously, but God used a war in the Middle East to redirect his will for Tracy so she would come home and be my wife and we would start ministry together. Now, I am on a very personal level, very grateful for that, But it's a great illustration of what we're going to see with Paul today, because Paul was the type of personality that unless some type of war stopped him, he would do what he was committed to do. Whether it was an inner turmoil war, whether it was a literal war, whatever it might be. And we're going to see something very interesting. God will do what it takes to get our attention and redirect us in the direction he wants us to go. And if God has to use a war to do it, God will use the war to do it. Again, I'm not saying that God started the Gulf War for Tracy's sake or my sake, but I'm making a point. God will use whatever is out there in our lives to redirect us. And sometimes some of you may be going through a war this morning. It may be a financial war. It may be an emotional war. It may be a physical war with some ailment you have that you can't be healed of. You're going possibly through a war. Listen, here's what I want you to grab more than anything. God, if you're a believer, God will use this to direct your life in the way he wants you to go if you will just be open to his spirit and sensitive to his spirit. And today as we go through this, we're going to look at five different things that God used in Paul's life and God will use in our lives to lead us by the Holy Spirit. And my guess is that most of us in this room only look for two of those five. And if you're only looking for two of those five, you're going to miss what it is that God wants to do in your life. Every one of us wants to do the will of God. That's our desire. God, what is your will? Show me your will. And you know, in Romans, it says that if we will simply offer our body as a living sacrifice, that God will lead us by that and show us his good and perfect will. But we have to know what we're looking for when we look in God's will, because oftentimes we have plans and God has different plans. Now, what are the ways that God will direct us in his will? Again, I'll tell you these things at the beginning, and we're going to see them as we go through this passage. Number one, God will direct us by his spirit through the word. As you spend time reading the word and going over God's word, he will speak to you and give you his will and tell you the direction that he wants you to go. Now, that one's fairly obvious. I think most of us probably know that if we know the Lord. The second one is also fairly obvious. God will speak to us by the voice of his Holy Spirit to our heart. It's not an audible voice. We don't hear God, you know, hello, Mark, you know, type thing. probably if I ever did, it would be a rebuke, you know, get him upset enough. That's probably when I'll hear him, you know, if it ever would be the kind of thing that would happen to me. But we'll hear his voice and he'll speak to our heart. That's the second way through prayer that most of us probably know about, the word of God and hearing the voice of God through prayer. But there are three other ways I want to point out that God will use as well. One is our circumstances. God will oftentimes use your circumstances to direct you. Lord, I want to go into missions next week, but you don't have the money. That means you can't go. Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to do that. Your circumstances don't allow it. Lord, I'd like to get involved in that. I can't because of whatever the situation might be. And because of circumstances, God will show us his will and direct us for that portion of our life. Another one can be environment. What is our environment? And quite literally, it might be a storm that stops us from getting to a city that we were determined to get to do some event. Maybe it's a sickness. I know I've had people before that have come to my house and I wanted to go share the gospel with them and I got so sick I couldn't get out of bed. Now, I can see that two ways, whether the enemy trying to stop me, and maybe it was, but if it's God, then God would give me the strength to get up and begin to share, would he not? And so God will lead us by our circumstances. He'll lead us by our environment as well and show us. Now, this is another one that may be hard for some of you to grasp. God will lead us oftentimes through physical ailments. But Mark, I thought that God wanted us to be healthy and strong. Not always. And it depends on your background and maybe some teaching you've heard that could sound strange to you. But we see in Scripture that God oftentimes, he himself inflicts us to complete his will. Let me call my first witness, Paul the Apostle. When Paul was first called to follow the Lord, God struck him with a physical ailment, blindness, knocked him off of his horse, and God made Paul sick so that Paul would follow the will of the Lord. And once he had Paul's attention, he said, all right, now that I've got your attention, go into Damascus. You're going to spend 3 days, and then I'm going to heal you and redirect you. Later on, it says that Paul, after seeing the visions of heaven, in order that he didn't get puffed up and that he could follow God's will and God's plan and stay humble, God once again struck Paul physically. Paul says this, and Paul said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh so that I would not think above myself as I should and that God could direct him in his will to keep Paul on the right path. Why do I say this? God oftentimes will use even physical ailments. And some of you guys this morning, you have a physical ailment. Some of it is simply because you fell down and hurt yourself. No other reason. Some of it is simply because you were breathing in and a bug flew by. Not that kind of bug, but the kind that gets you sick. You know, I've done both actually. But the bottom line is, you got sick. So I'm not saying that every time you get sick, that every time you hurt yourself, God is striking you. And it's not some kind of judgment. You're not in sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you have some kind of ailment that is keeping you from doing what you truly desire to do, especially maybe something for the Lord, you need to be in prayer and say, God, are you redirecting me? Am I trying to go a direction you don't want me to go? You know, about a year ago, last January, actually at the end of the year, right before that, I began to have these thoughts about getting involved in the worship team again. That's something God has used me on and off in throughout the years, and God may still do that again in the future. But about a year ago, I was thinking, you know, I'll start doing worship again. I'm going to get involved and do all this. And yet I also felt the tug in my heart to say, no, you need to stay in the Word, stay in prayer, stay focused, feed God's people. Don't get sidetracked with too many things going on in the evenings. You have enough going on with ministry. And so I was thinking that, and all of a sudden, that January, a year ago now, a year ago and a couple of months, I tore a tendon in this arm. Now, at that time, I didn't know that it was a torn tendon. All I knew is that my arm really hurt, and I thought I was just an old man who couldn't lift weights anymore. After 5 months of trying to convince myself that I could do this and continuing to go to the gym, I went and got an MRI, and I torn my tendon. So I'd only made it worse over the 5 months that I tore it till the time I finally went to the doctor. And then, of course, they did the surgery, and I realized at that moment my arm was messed up, and I couldn't, with this arm, I can't play. And God began to speak to my heart and tell me one of the reasons he allowed this to happen. I think there's probably multiple reasons. I think God's involved in this. And I think one of the reasons is, Mark, you're not to get involved in worship right now. I want you to be focused on other things. And I'm not saying that God's going to go rip your tendon because you want to play well on the worship team, all right? What I'm saying is God will use our circumstances and even physical situations to get our attention and say, to refocus us. Now, there's two ways I can approach this. One is I could say, you know what? God, you're not fair. And God, I wanted to do this. And it was all for you, Lord. And I can get upset, right? Or the other is I can learn to trust. How about that? And say, you know what? I guess I'm not supposed to do that right now. Yeah, but I have that ability, Lord. Yeah, but I'm not supposed to do that. Here's the question. Are we willing to lay down what we want to do in our desires as God redirects to do what God wants us to do? Because are we here for ourselves or Him? We're here for Him. And even as Tracy desired for 2 years to finish out that commitment, God said, no, I want you back in the States. You're going to marry a young pastor and move to Knoxville. And she submitted to the will of the Lord. She did what God told her. Paul's going to do the same thing. Paul's like, Lord, I want to go there. I've got to go there. And Paul was one of these guys driven. I'm telling you, if you didn't do something drastic to Paul, he's not going to stop. And by the way, most scholars believe, because this is the region of Galatia, most scholars believe this is where Paul got his thorn in the flesh. Because Paul got his thorn in the flesh. And most scholars believe because of this, that Paul was trying so hard to go somewhere God didn't want him to go. God just said, boom. Now lay down and shut up, you know, whatever. And not that Paul would ever shut up. It's not that. But this is radical in our mindset of the leading of the Spirit of the Lord, is it not? But we have to be open to these things and say, God, are you leading me through my circumstances? Are you leading me through my environment? Are you leading me through the Word? Are you leading me through prayer? How are you leading me, God? What do you want me to do? And then we find out God's leading us. The doors open, we go through the doors, and when the doors close, we stop. It's just how God leads. You know, it's interesting. I had to go back, as you guys know. You think, Mark, have you been in that sling that long? No, I haven't. But I went back after I got the first surgery. I started using my arm a little bit too soon. And so I got some scar tissue, and they had to go back in 4.5 weeks ago and clean out what I'd already done to my arm, right? So, you know, God even used that in my life, you know, basically to say, stop using your arm. Well, you know, because he knows that it needs to heal. And so recently, last Monday, I'm trying my best. Pray for me not to use my arm. I get fussed at in good ways by people that love me. I'm trying my best not to, but it's really hard when you're standing there not to squeeze the toothpaste or to grab that little cup or what. It's hard to do that so that you can heal. It's very natural to use the arm that's there. And so last Monday, I stuck a knife in my finger and had to go to the emergency room on this same arm. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to stop using this side of my body. I'm kind of getting the message. Now, why do I say this? Don't be stubborn. Listen to the Lord. And if you think God is using things in your life to speak to you, then listen. And he'll use all these different things we've talked about. Paul, we're going to see, is going to have all these things used in his life as he goes to do this call. Now, remember last week where we left off, Paul had taken Timothy, this new young protege, this one he was going to train up, you know, and work with in this project in the ministry that he said had a heart after God. He knew, he saw the heart in him. He wanted to use him for ministry. He takes him with him. They take off, and that's where we take up here in verse 6. As Paul and Timothy are out here on the trail doing the gospel, it says, and when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, note this is huge to me, I have it underlined, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Would you ever believe the Holy Spirit would forbid anybody to preach the word anywhere? This right here proves he does. You mean there are times God will say, do not say a word? You mean there's times that God will tell you not to go to that person and share? Absolutely. I've had God do that to me before. The Bible says, don't throw pearls to swine. And he's not calling people names as much as what he's saying is, there are some people who cannot appreciate the value of my word and where they are in their life right now. They'll only mock it. They'll only trample it. Don't even share it with them. When Jesus stood before Herod, he said not one word to Herod. He at least talked to Pilate. He talked to the high priest. He talked to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He had not one word for Herod. How sad when our heart becomes so opposed to God that he has not one thing he can say to us. Where he wouldn't even say to us, listen to me. Because we wouldn't even listen to that. And this is where, again, God will sometimes say, I forbid you to do that. I'm going to have somebody else do it. Now, again, or nobody at all, depending on what the situation is. And again, Paul was one of those guys that you just don't stop. The Holy Spirit forbid him. It doesn't tell us how the Holy Spirit forbid him. But again, because of the timing, because of Galatia, because of what Paul talks about, many believe that he was forbidden by his thorn in the flesh. God said, you know, Paul, I'm going no matter what. I'm going no matter what. Boom, you're not going. All right, you got me. I'm not going. I can't do it. I mean, Paul was so stubborn about doing what he wanted to do. His intent was good. His heart was good. He wanted to do all these things for God, but it wasn't always God's clear directing. Even going down to Jerusalem, I'm not saying that wasn't God's directing. I think it was. But even on the way down to Jerusalem, the prophet Agabus, you know, wraps himself up in this, one of the prophets wraps himself up in this thing and says, Paul, you're going to be arrested and thrown in jail. Paul said, I don't care. I'm ready to die. And so God allowed him to do it because it wasn't Paul's time to go. But the point is, Paul was committed to doing it. And we have to realize that no matter how badly we want to share, maybe with that parent or that brother or that sister, if their heart is hard as a brick, sometimes we need to wait. And I've had situations where I'm thinking, man, this person needs the Lord, but I can hear the Holy Spirit. Don't say a word. They're not going to hear you right now. They're only going to mock you at this point. And so again, they're forbidden by the Spirit. And God says, you know, God has something else in mind, if you will. But it's amazing to think the Holy Spirit will prevent us sometimes from going to certain places and doing certain things. No matter how hard we kick on the door, God will meet us and God will do what it takes to stop us. And quite frankly, I'm thankful that God will do what it takes to stop us. You know, it's interesting. Just as an example of this, it depends on our mindset. If we can see God working in everything. On that same Monday, that rainy Monday that I poked my finger, went to two different doctors, went to my first doctor. He said, oh, you need to go to the emergency room. Go to the emergency room. Then I find out I have to do some work on one of my tires, and it's got a nail in it. Get that fixed. And before I'm leaving the tire place, my wife has a flat and is broken down the side of the road with the girls, right? And all these things are happening at the same time. And listen, when these kind of things happen in your life, you have options. You can either grumble and complain, or you can look for the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you. In the past, there have been many times I've grumbled and complained. I have, when these things have happened. So I'm not going to say I haven't. But this was one of those grace days. You ever had a grace day where God's just giving grace? And it was like a great day. I was having fun. I said, this is awesome. I mean, I don't like the fact that I'm going to two tire places and spending all this money, and my wife and kids are on the side of the road, and I've cut my finger on the end. And I don't like all this stuff, but God, I know you're using it. You have a reason for this. How do I know that God didn't just save the life of my wife and children by giving them a flat tire on the side of the road on a rainy day? Praise the Lord for that. You never know what God has done. We have to make sure that our eyes are open to the work of the Spirit in the believer's life. And rather than saying, God, how could you do this? My arm's already hurt. Now you cut my finger. Now it's raining. Now I have a tire fixed. Now my wife's got a flat tire. Now I just found out my water heater's leaking at home right now during church. And all these things, and that's true, but all these things, right? And I can sit here and go, God, how could you do this? Marcus, because I do love you. This is my sign of love to you. Why? You have no idea what I'm doing. You have no idea. And if you knew, you would be thanking me with praise offerings. We've got to learn to realize he loves us. And everything he does is for a purpose. Everything in our lives. Paul had to learn this. And as bad as Paul wanted to go and do all this stuff, Paul couldn't do it. You know, God wouldn't let him. Because again, he had something else that he wanted Paul to do. He had someone else he wanted Paul to go to. He had another region he wanted Paul to reach. But all Paul could think of is all those poor people who needed Jesus in that area. Yes, they needed Jesus. And God had a plan to send someone, as we're going to see in just a moment. But it wasn't Paul. And look at verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. But note this, the Spirit did not permit them. So again, the Holy Spirit stopping them from going to this area and sharing the gospel and doing these kind of things, again, goes against everything that our mind would normally think with the leading of the Spirit. Lord, that can't be you. It's got to be the enemy. No, it's God sometimes. And we have to be sensitive to that. Now, it's interesting here, the Holy Spirit may have given us some insight into why he wouldn't let them go to Bithynia. Because oftentimes God uses the language to speak to us and to give us insight if we just pay attention. The word Bithynia, interestingly enough, means a violent rushing. And it may be that if God had allowed Paul to continue on to Bithynia, there would have been a violent rushing upon he and Timothy, and they'd have been killed. You know, in certain areas, they weren't ready to hear it, and they would put you to death. So God, in his mercy, may have just spared Paul's life, may have just spared Timothy's life, and no doubt they were going, Lord, why won't you let us go? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Why is the door closed, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? I'm not saying they were doing that. I think Paul trusted the Lord. But at the same time, I speak for me, what my mind would have been doing, how I would have been thinking. You know, God says, you know, I may be protecting you from a violent rushing, something that would happen to you that would have destroyed you. I've got more work for you to do. So trust me and relax. But there's another important thing to note here. Even though Paul continues to run into obstacles, note this, he doesn't give up, but he continues to move forward. Now, this is the key, gang. If God shuts a door, if doors get closed on us, we try to step out and do ministry or do what we feel God wants us to do. If the door closes, we need to say, well, then where is it open, Lord? Because you're going to do something. Even if it's nothing but finding that prayer closet where you can pray, there's going to be an open door for ministry. And what I love about Paul is Paul never took no for an answer. Paul, you know, was the kind of guy, again, that if there's an open door, he's going to go through it. If there's not an open door, then he's probably going to force his way in if he can, unless God stops him. And so here Paul is trying to do this, and God said, no, Paul, this is not what I want you to do. I'm not going to permit you to go in there. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to follow me, and you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. But Paul keeps going, and that's a lesson for us. Keep going. Look at verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And now we're going to see in verse 9, God, after stopping Paul dead in his tracks, instead of Paul's vision, now God gives Paul God's vision. Look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, I'm adding the us. But I wonder if it wasn't read that way. I wonder if he didn't say it that way. Paul, you're trying to go everywhere else. We need you over here. The door's open. Come to us. We're wide open, and we need you to come and minister to us. And so God directs him by a vision. And after he had seen the vision, now again, I love Paul. Notice this. When he knows which way he's supposed to go, he doesn't waste any time. He's not a procrastinator. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So now they have direction, they take off, and the wind is at their back rather than stopping them. Now, something to note before we move on and see what happens here over these next few verses, and we see what happens when they head down there. Notice it says in verse 10, we sought to go to Macedonia. At the first part of this chapter, it says they, as if it's a person writing in the third person. Now suddenly it shifts right here in this book from this point on to we. Why? Well, because many believe this is where Luke joined up with Paul and Timothy in his journeys. We know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and we know that Luke traveled with Paul, and it's interesting if indeed this was Paul's thorn in the flesh that happened right here, which again, many believe it was, and I think that's highly likely that God used that to stop him in a physical ailment. Luke was a doctor. And so this is great now. It's like, man, I'm hurt. I'm messed up. I got this thorn in the flesh. Hey, there's this doctor who loves Jesus. He'd love to travel with you guys. Great. I'd like a doctor to travel with me. How about you guys? I'd like a doctor to travel with me, especially the last year. You know, that'd be great.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.